Here's a voice that might sound familiar to listeners of All Things Considered.
Reporters traveling with Secretary Gates were asking him whether momentum in the war is starting to shift.
That's Mary Louise Kelly. She's a former reporter for NPR and guest host of Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Kelly launched the intelligence beat for NPR back in 2003. She spent nearly a decade covering war, the CIA, and the National Security Agency. But there was a moment in 2011 when Kelly decided she would end her career at NPR and become a novelist.
By 2011, I was still doing the intelligence beat at NPR, but had also taken on part of the Pentagon beat. And part of that job involved traveling with the defense secretary when he went overseas. It was being on the plane as part of the press pool, reporting on where he went, who he met, what kind of arms deals were being cut. And that particular trip, we had come in, we'd been various stops around the Middle East, but had arrived in Baghdad. And there's a swarm of Black Hawk helicopters waiting, and they are literally hovering above, and then they swoop down one by one so that you're not on the ground any longer than necessary. And the defense secretary gets rushed out and gets the first one, and then you can kind of see what the pecking order is. The senior generals who are traveling with him get the second one. Guess who's in the last one to, you know, be the sitting ducks for mortar fire coming in? It's the reporters. So I'm waiting for our turn to get on the helicopters, and my phone rang. It was very loud, needless to say, with half a dozen helicopters hovering. And it took me a while to figure out that this very faint-sounding, faraway voice on the end of the line was the school nurse back at my son's school in Washington calling to tell me that he was sick. And where was I? And could I come get him?
They did not know where you were.
They did not know where I was. And I think I probably laughed and said, you know, lady, if you could see where I am, that is not going to happen. And she started screaming and said, I don't mean to come bring him home. I mean, he's really sick. He's barely breathing. We need to get him to a hospital. Where are you? And you have that moment where your heart stops. And I was trying to do the time zone calculation and think, where's the babysitter? What, you know, how can I handle this? And cell phone died, you know, that we lost the connection. And then it was suddenly my turn to run and get on the next helicopter. And
what did you do?
I think I remember distinctly sitting in the helicopter all strapped in my helmet and the flak jacket and looking down over the traffic of Baghdad and thinking, I have a 4-year-old who's barely breathing. What am I doing? You know, I worked really hard to get here. I mean, to get this beat and to be able to cover this news, and I love it. But right now, this is not working. And on the plane home from that trip, we had one more stop in northern Iraq, and then we flew through Turkey. And by the time we had landed back at Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington, I had started what became the first chapter of my first novel. And I hadn't figured out very much about the plot other than that my protagonist was going to be named Alexandra James after my sons. Alexander was the then 4-year-old who'd been really sick, and his big brother James. To remind me why I was doing it.
So let me just take you back to that day. You continued to do your job. You were flying in the Black Hawk. Were you trying to call the school back?
Oh, yeah. And it took a few hours to get the connection back and managed to finally get through. And they had, when I had disappeared and they weren't able to get me on the line, they'd called my husband. And he had, as always, you know, jumped right in and gotten my son off to the medical treatment he needed, and he was fine already by the time I managed to reach him, and is now a happy, healthy, thriving 9-year-old. But yeah, you keep going. What else can you do? I think we had a big press conference that afternoon at the Iraqi Ministry of Defense, and then they put you up in one of Saddam Hussein's old palaces, disused palaces that the U.S. military had at that point taken over, and the reporters are all sleeping in these triple bunk beds and trailers in the back. And I remember, you know, crawling into bed that night after hitting the All Things Considered deadlines and the newscast deadlines and figuring out what we were doing for Morning Edition the next day, and crawling into bed and just bursting into tears and thinking, it's time for career plan B.
So you must have been thinking about this through the day, but I'm also wondering if it did the decision get made that quickly, or had this been building for a while?
It had been building. I'd always thought it would be fun to write fiction. Always wanted to write a novel. Never had been able to figure out how on earth that was going to happen between having young children and covering a challenging full-time beat, and suddenly it shot to the top of the agenda after that. But yeah, I mean, I'd covered the spy beat for a decade by then, or close to it, and you do see some crazy stuff on that beat. There's all these just little details and anecdotes and juicy things you see or interesting questions that pop into your head, and I'd been scribbling them for years in my reporter's notebooks. And sometimes you try to work in that into your stories, but a lot of times there's not room when you're trying to meet the daily deadlines. And so I had fun going back through all of those old notebooks and figuring out what I could pull out and have some fun with. And the protagonist I created for my first book is a reporter who travels around and is chasing a big national security story. So I was able to use a lot of that.
So as you finished out that one day and then you started your trip back home, that decision that you were making, you were weighing things. You were weighing the benefits of your job with what you felt your obligations were as a mother. How did that weighing process work for you? What were you thinking about?
I think that one day was the only moment in my now 2 decades of trying to juggle meaningful work and a family life. And it was the one moment of absolute crystal clarity. I am not second guessing this. I'm not doubting this. I need to figure out a new path, and that path is going to be I'm going to write fiction. That's where I was then. I mean, I've thought about it and thought I might have come to a very different decision at an earlier stage in my career if I'd just been starting out, or at a later stage in my career when I'd already seen and done everything I wanted to do in the world. It happened, you know, in my late 30s when I had enough experience to know I really liked it and had gotten kind of good at it, but where there was still so much more I wanted to do. And now, I mean, I have to say 4 or 5 years later, I find myself really missing that world and trying to figure out, well, what comes next? My second book's just come out. It is a lot of fun to write fiction. But I walk into a newsroom like walking into this one at KUOW today, and I miss it. It gets in your blood.
What do you miss about it the most?
I was just on Book Talk in Boston. I'm touring around with this second novel, and I was in Boston doing a talk at Harvard Bookstore. And that same day went into the NPR station there, WBUR. This was a few weeks ago, and there was some development in the Tsarnaev trial, the trial for the bombing of the Boston Marathon. It wasn't the verdict, but it was some other twist and turn in the process. But it happened right as I'd walked in, and the newsroom was going crazy. And there is just that adrenaline that if you're not a news person, you hate and find really stressful. If you are, you just love it. And I miss that. I think I miss being part of a team that is engaged in a interesting, meaningful public debate about what's going on in our world and in our lives right now. And I miss being part of a team that's working toward a common purpose. Writing a novel is way more family friendly, and it is a lot of fun, and I love to write, but it is very solitary. It's just you and your laptop, for better or worse, trying to figure out your way.
It's lonely.
Thinking of plot twists. It's lonely. Yeah.
So how did the previous job and your skills that you had in that job, how does that feed into the work you're doing now?
In all kinds of ways that I might not have expected. One is writing for radio, writing for broadcast. As you know, Kim, you're trying to write conversationally. And that is not the way we're taught to write. I mean, our high school teachers and college professors spend years trying to get us to write in complete, grammatically correct sentences, but that's not the way anybody talks. And when you write for radio, you learn to write very conversationally. And I find writing the dialogue in my novels the most fun thing and the easiest thing. It just comes. And I think writing for NPR all those years has given me a big head start in doing that. I mean, the other thing is just the basics concept of storytelling. You know, NPR listeners will maybe be familiar with what we strive for at NPR, the driveway moment, that moment of,
sure,
I know, you've made it all the way home, you know you need to get dinner on, but you're listening to something that has so completely gripped your attention that you sit there in your car waiting to see how it's going to turn out.
Do you still have those moments, by the way, when you're listening?
Oh, yeah. All the time. all the time. And it's great. And that's, as a reporter, it's what you're striving for every day. And as a novelist, it's a similar, you know, it's, you're trying to find a story that's going to hold people's attention for hours as opposed to a few minutes. But it's that same skill of giving them enough information to hook them and make them care, and yet holding enough back that you don't give it all away on the first page and you want to keep turning those pages. And that has been an interesting challenge, to try to figure out how to do that in fiction and in a book.
So as a reporter, of course, you have obligations to the truth, or to be as objective and balanced as you can. You do not have those obligations as a fiction writer. Have you found it hard to move from one form of storytelling to another in that way?
It's both liberating and terrifying, I think. Having been a reporter for so many years, and obviously you try to find a creative, original way to tell your stories, but you are bound by a certain set of facts. And in fiction, you can write absolutely anything you want. You can make it all up. It's been great fun as I've gone through and figuring out characters who I thought would be relatively minor characters. Every time I write them, I like them and they're making me laugh, and so you think I'm going to pursue that. Other characters who you find difficult to write, or they're just boring every time they show up on the page, you can kill them off and move on, which would be really nice to be able to do with sources in the journalism world. I won't name names, but
oh, come on.
Oh, there you go. No, it'll get me in too much trouble. I have not killed any of my sources yet, but quite a few irritating characters have met their death in the pages of my novels.
Well, it was motherhood that brought you to this new career. Do you ever think about going back to radio? Could that work in with motherhood as it is now?
I think so. I mean, my boys are older now. They're 9 and 11. They still need their mom in every possible way, but it's different than when they were toddlers. And I do miss the adrenaline of the newsroom. And I miss, you know, as I say, I drew so heavily on reporters' notebooks and things that I had learned and seen and had questions about over the years. And I've enjoyed exploring that through fiction. And I still report my fiction as I would a news story. I mean, I'm checking every fact. And you know, my first novel was about nuclear terrorism and a threat against Washington. And I found myself calling all my old sources and asking everything from, you know, details about what a nuclear weapon might look like to which door of the White House my reporter would be going through if she had a certain level of of clearance. So I do all of that. And I would love to get some fresh material. And I think being a reporter is one of the best ways to go out there and do it. So we'll see. I think it's possible to do both, and they can complement each other.
Well, Mary Louise Kelly, welcome to Seattle.
Thank you so much. My first time here. I'm having fun so far.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Kim.
Mary Louise Kelly is a former NPR reporter. Her new book is called The Bullet.